Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks again for joining us this week at CCEF and our weekly podcast. My name is Andrew Ray, and we are joined this week by...
Ed Welch.
Tim Lane.
This week, we wanted to talk a little bit about what Tim brought up last week in our podcast, toward the end of the podcast. I don't know if you guys were hearing it, but Tim was talking about technology. He had an experience in the evening with his family where he had his iPad. His children came in, were talking with he and his wife, and at the end of the great conversation, he couldn't remember the details of it. And he was lamenting that a bit and kind of challenging us to think, how is technology affecting our relationships, specifically Facebook and Twitter? I imagine that many of you who are listening to this podcast have Twitter accounts, Facebook accounts, are able to connect with people constantly. But we seem to be a lonely generation. And disconnected in many ways from what it means to have real relationships. What is happening with this advent of social media, and how it affects really knowing someone?
This is Ed. I'll be glad to start because I have such little to say, and I want to give all my time to Tim because he is really, honestly, he's been very thoughtful about these things. Real briefly, see if I can do it in 30 seconds. I think the social media is so cool because it shows that we have these relational instincts. People want to connect. In general, I really appreciate it. Personally, I am an utter dinosaur. My children grew up, right when those kinds of things were happening. And the basic rule in our house was, if we're together, you never have earbuds in. And basically, Sony Discman in those days. And and we really enjoyed that we didn't have, that competition for our children's attention. So we're dinosaurs, and I don't have my Facebook account, and I'm always the last person to know. So Tim, you are the one who has younger kids, and you know all things about this.
Well, so. I don't know all things, but I tend to enjoy the part that the social media plays in our lives. I enjoy it. I mean, I've connected with long lost friends, interacted recently with some folks from high school on Facebook, and have found that some of these folks have either come to faith in Christ or they're still holding on to their faith in Christ and been encouraged, So I tend to enjoy it. I think with everything in creation, there are blessings and there are curses. There are benefits and there are things that you have to be careful of. I would be concerned if the majority of someone's social life is conducted via cyberspace. What are your relationships like, your flesh and blood relationships like, folks that are crossing paths with you that don't get filtered through the internet? They're dealing with you on that moment-by-moment basis. What are those relationships like? What are the quality of those relationships? Those would be questions I would be asking. And then saying, okay, your involvement with social media and these social outlets, Facebook, whatever, is it in proportion, or has it just taken over your life? And is that the main place where you do relationship?
Along those lines, do you see your children or your children's friends doing relationship the majority of that way sometimes? Or are you privy to enough?
Well, his kids are pretty social, so there's no risk that their lives are going to be doing right. Relationships by way of the internet. But I'd be interested in, Andrew, your question also, just how do you, what do you have guidelines? Do you talk about those kinds of things in your family?
The qualification has been, and it was one of the reasons I actually did Facebook to begin with, was you have to be friends with me on Facebook. I have to be able to have access to whatever you're posting.
What fun. I like that idea.
And it's been good, and I'm glad we did that. There were in the initial stages, our older kids, when they first got it, there were some things that they were posting that gave me some concern.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that we built into Facebook. You can have an account at a certain age, and you're going to be friends with me and your mom because we're both going to have accounts, whether we use it a lot or not. But we're going to have the ability to look at what you're posting.
You're not living life apart from mom and dad, right? Like that, because there's no instant secrecy. Like, yeah, it seems like online and texting can give children that I didn't have as a youth.
Again, the other thing I'm looking for is this child moving more towards social networking via the internet? And is it in any way hindering their ability to grow with real flesh and blood people and relationships,
yeah,
starting with their siblings, with us as their parents, but then their circle of friends? And then you're always asking the question about, are they exercising wisdom with the people that they're connecting with, either through social media or, you know, in real time, flesh and blood?
Right.
Yeah, I'm talking as a 48-year-old who has tried to, and it's largely been through my kids, keep pace with the technology that's available. But I didn't grow up with it, so my experience is very different than someone who maybe was in their early teens, like my kids were, and this stuff is just kind of available to them. It's normal.
With social media being a valuable way to get to know one another, it's not the ultimate way, though. We need to know what it means to be personal, right?
Yeah. Andrew, I guess gets to the question of what does it mean to be personal. One way to put that is that we speak, we hear, we speak, the other person is moved by us. We are moved by them. It's not a scripted conversation, but something happens when the two of us together that where I'm affected by you in some way. That's one way of thinking about personal, and obviously it's a reflection of a personal God where we speak, we're known, we hear, we know Him, and somehow we are changed in that process. So I guess my own sense on that is that there are certain ways that human beings are self-corrective, and if the internet is aiding certain kinds of connections, but it's not giving us other ways of being human, which you're talking about being more personal, it seems to me that at some point people will start shutting off their computers a little bit more when they have that sense of isolation. The first thing is, what do I do with it? It feels horrible. But I tend to think we are self-corrective on those things, and we will be looking for opportunities actually to see real flesh and blood people and have real conversations. Mm-hmm. So I don't mean to seem casual on that.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm old enough now to see that there are certain features of humanness, and being personal in relationships is one of them, that if we are specializing in a form of relationship that doesn't include that, then at some point, it might be a year, it might be 5 years, it might be 10 years, culturally we begin to develop ways to have those kinds of relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wonder, you know, is there a way in which some of the social media can stunt our maturity and growth and what it looks like to engage in a relationship, that give and take, that being moved by someone, then being moved by you, that transaction that happens. And then the other thing you have to keep in mind is based on the platform, the medium can be flatter than the other. You know, I remember this question was always asked when email became kind of the norm. Does email help or hinder relationships? Well, I saw it do both. You know, I'd get an email from someone, it's a very flat medium, and I would interpret it a certain way, and I would get ticked off at somebody. And I might go around for a month or two thinking my interpretation of that email was accurate, and then I get in a conversation with them and come to find out that I had totally misread the email. Mm. And it hurt my relationship with that person.
Huh.
I'm sure that happens all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah, to do any relational business over email is... is not going to go well.
Well, as a pastor, I got to a point where I said, I'm not dealing with conflict through emails or, you know, deep personal issues. We're not going to going to use that as the primary vehicle, unless, of course, you're separated, and that's the only means by which you can communicate with someone. But if I was having a problem with a person in my congregation, or there was a leader that I needed to talk to, we weren't going to do serious business via email.
That's where I wonder if there is a self-correcting nature. We're created in the image of God, and there are certain ways we eventually are going to move. And I've made the same exact observation that, and how did I make it? Where one time I tried to deal with a relational issue by way of email, and it just got really bad.
Right.
I said, what am I doing? And obviously, you deal with it face to face. And chances are, if we're encountering those kinds of things to the point where they become guidelines for the way we live, we're going to experience those things more broadly in the culture, and people are going to say there are limitations on this, and you can't do, you know, certain features of relationship in cyberspace. It has to be face to face.
You know, it's interesting too, the way that I deal with things now. If I get an email from someone and it's substantive, there's an issue, I'll email them back and say, let's not deal with this through email. Let's get on the phone. Mm-hmm. So we use a different technological device that has more of a personal feel to it, because you're hearing a voice. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes you say, it's not working to do this over the phone. We need to sit down face to face. And what that means is that your most intimate relationships are going to be face to face. That's where they've got to happen. And those are the most challenging, you know.
That's encouraging. I can remain a dinosaur and still be okay. I can still have relationships.
You've at least got a wireless phone in your house, right?
You do. Actually,
you haven't gotten rid of your landline, which most people are doing now. They just have their cell phones. But it's funny that, you know, we say let's revert back to the telephone. But I would imagine when the telephone, you know, just kind of took off, people were probably having similar conversations. How is this impacting our relationships?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, think of how much more gossip was happening between people because they had the ability to communicate, you know, just by picking up a device.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I always err on the side of seeing technology as a good thing. And then what I want to do is say, all right, but I want to understand its limitations.
Yeah.
What can it do for me, and how can this help? And what are its limitations? And if you're keeping those things in balance, then you're probably going to be okay. I mean, the last thing you want is just to be so antithetical to things technological.
That's right.
I mean,
because the world is not flat.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks for coming by.
Good to be with you.
Peace. Good to be here.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.